Hello.
Good morning, Nicholas Michael Hanley.
Morning.
Morning. Very few questions this morning. Looks as though everyone's starting to wind down, get lazy. Five questions. But the good ones, to be fair, aren't they?
They are indeed.
Yeah, well, I need that more of that enthusiasm, please, because you've just started this call really flat and you need to fucking shake yourself.
You just need to shut the hell up, right?
Let's go.
What are some examples of ways you can work with other local businesses? Am I on the right one?
Yeah.
I think this could be a good avenue for me in the smaller town, not just how to go about it.
Okay. So, what are some examples of ways you can work for other local businesses? The first thing that I would do would be to explore your demographics, kind of main hobbies, interests, places they go, all of that type of stuff, because that's going to give you the main places where there's a high level of footfall for where your guys go. So I would explore them first and just make a list of them. And then I would pick out, I don't know, it's up to you how many numbers that you want. And I would approach the, I think, first of all, let me take a step back. You want to agree on the main objective that you want to get out of it. Like, what do you want to get out of it? Is it that you want more specific face-to-face clients, online clients, or what is it that you want to get out of it? And then how much time can you sacrifice to building these kind of avenues and stuff like that? And then I would approach them. Now, it's up to you. Like, in the past, I've coached, like, I used to work in the city centre of Manchester, and I used to coach barbers because they see a lot of people, like male corporate people, on the lunch times after they finish work. And that was my demographic. And they used to bring me in so many clients, like so many clients. So I used to actually train one of them for like 50% off. And then his mate for, and it depend. I think we've done it in tiers. So how many people they bring in was how much percentage off that they got. I'm not a massive fan now of cutting costs, but they used to bring me quite a bit. So that's an option where you could train the person who's going to bring people in, but I would put some boundaries in place. Just, it's not a case of you training someone for free and then they hardly bring anyone into the business. The more they push people come in, maybe potentially the more they get an opportunity to train with you for a discounted rate. So that would be one way I would go about things. Nick, any others that you, the way you would tackle it? Obviously, you could do wellness days and talks and seminars and classes and group sessions and all of that stuff. Is there any other ways that you do?
Yeah, I think those things lend itself very well to like larger businesses. Like, everything, God, what we, in the past, we've like done, gone into like canteens and the lunch area, lunchtime, and set up like a health check area. We've done like talks on back pain, on sleep, on all the little kind of nuances that help basically equal better work production and lower the illness days or the sick days over the year. That's kind of an angle you'd go out for maybe more of a corporate, larger business. And if we, I always used to pitch it in regards to like a wellness day and being at the cost of X amount. And it obviously genuinely is, isn't it? If you're giving up your time to go in as a little bit of a intro. I think that worked really well with a lot of HR departments and whatnot. And that just gets your foot in the door then. And as soon as you've got the foot in the door, like, it's just about building a relationship with the right people.
This person's got a female demographic that he wants to encourage to strength train. I'm just sat here thinking about businesses and how all of the approaches that we've talked about would work in the majority of businesses. So, like, going back to the point there, like hairdressers, stuff like that, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
hairdressers, beauty places, coffee shops, like that type of stuff.
Even like independent spas now, because you think of a spa and you think of like a hotel with a gym, but like there's so many like independent spas that just literally run treatments. And obviously the demographic is probably, we could assume, is largely female. So yeah, and even like little yoga and Pilates studios and bits and pieces like that, like they obviously specialize in that. But, you know, if there's a way you can cross promote a little bit, I definitely think it's worth just having those contacts and conversations at the end of the day.
I think if I was to do it again as well, like I did it kind of ad hoc with the barber places and stuff like that. But if I was to do it again now, I'd work out a bit of a referral scheme for cross promotion of like how many. So you've got boundaries of how many people they bring in is an X percentage off them training with you. Because at the end of the day, if they're getting amazing results, whether it's from a fat loss perspective, strength gain or whatever, or a combination of both, like they're only going to shout and scream your name. And that's kind of the social proof you want. You want, for better words, you want influences within the local area, and you want to be smart as to how you're going to get them. And that's people who are going to come up into contact with a lot of people within your demographic. Hopefully that helps, mate. Right, Nicholas, the next one is for you. When marketing my services, do I market them all at once or choose one at a time? It's a good question, that.
I think on one hand, you're marketing you and the benefits of your services versus the gen, like focusing so solely on the features of that service, if that makes sense. Like if you're solving the problem for people, if you're triggering people online and engaging with them online, then largely on one hand, I feel that they should be engaged and curious about working with you because you've been talking about the problems you solve and the benefits they get, et cetera. So I think generally, I think you're looking at those two things there. But I also think that one simple message is better than lots of varying messages. So if you're... if you're focused on your one-to-one, then just, you know, and you've got a call to action for your one-to-one stuff, that one-to-one side of things, I think keep it simple in that regard. I think if you want to do your small group training, if that's a thing, or you're online or whatnot, then, you know, run them as campaigns that you can just cycle through, whether it month to month or every 8 weeks or every quarter or whatnot with your calls to action. But I think as a general rule of thumb, the people you're talking to, if you're engaging them in a way that you're speaking their language, they are resonating with what you're putting out, they get to trust you, you're having a conversation with them, they understand the benefits and that you've got social proof, then largely, I honestly don't feel there's a huge amount of difference in going, this is a group program or this is a one-to-one program. I don't. So yeah, that's what I'd say. I don't know if I've made sense there, but.
Yeah, it, you have made sense. I think, and especially, do you know what's great, what you just said then? I'll give it to you, Nicholas. I'll give it to you. I think what's good,
what Christmas, just, isn't it?
I know, yeah. Once a year, I'll fucking give you a compliment. What's good about what you've just said is that there's going to be so many PTs going into January thinking, launching something new, whether it's a group program, a low barrier and stuff like that, who will then start to drive that much that they feel like that's all they need to concentrate on. Essentially, if you're, like, I don't want to repeat it, but if you're marketing you and specific your services, your coaching experience, the social proof behind the scenes and all of that, it won't matter what products that you've got. So that to people coming in, like, yeah, don't get me wrong. If you highlight that you've got a small group training program that you really want to emphasize, then people let people understand it. But like Nick just said, like, try and take the emphasis so much off just thinking about the product or multiple different products, and think about just be consistent in showing up. And then it's about understanding the person and what's the best product to direct them towards. Now, if you are delivering a product, or if you want to go all in on a product and so on, it doesn't mean to say that then you need to worry about, oh, I'm not going to get any inquiries for one-to-one, I'm not full. Your consistency in showing up will drive inquiries regardless. Yeah, that's what I'll say. I was going to give you another example again of us, but I'm not talking about us and what we do.
It's true though, isn't it? Because if I try to explain what I do for people on a one-to-one basis and trying to fit that into largely an Instagram post or whatever, it's going to take ages for me to write all that down and try and explain it to people and blah, blah, blah. Where if people know you're a coach, if people know that you're working with people and getting results with people, they know that the things that you talk about and illustrate on social media resonates with them and that's what they're going through, then, and you tell them, be very clear about, hey, this is how you can work with me, then it's simple, isn't it? You're the first person on their mind when they come to, and if they want one-to-one, that you'll be literally the first person in their mind when it comes to it. So I just think doubling down on features constantly, it just merges into the background, and I don't think it really resonates with a lot of people. Where if you focus on talking to someone, you know, when you connect with someone, you remember them, don't you? When you've had a conversation with them, when someone's reached out to you and said, hey, how can I help you? You remember them, and that's the big thing.
And I think being smart about this in a way of, let's say, for example, that you run a one-to-one and small group training, and I think for this person, they do. Like, wherever your emphasis is at that moment in time, if it is both, show both at every opportunity. Like, that's really important. What I was going to say before is, like, when I show pictures of, I don't know, on stories of when we have one-to-one calls with some of the guys on the one-to-one program, we get one-to-one inquiries, or people want to know. When I show the group, people want to know. So as soon as you, a combination of you showing up consistently and showing inside your business and creating them conversations will get people into the business of the products and services that you want them in. Give people, off the back of your like consistent content, give people an insight into your business. Let them see behind the scenes, like let them see one-to-one, let them see small group. If it is online, let them see it, because then it helps them understand it. And actually what that does for them is start to help them understand potentially what is best for them as well. So then they will inquire more.
The gym seems full of teens at the moment. How would you work around this? I'm always talking to people and turning up off shift, but it's just a lot of kids in the gym. PS, thanks for blah, blah, blah. Thanks for it.
Do you know what? This is the second time I've heard this in the past couple of weeks. How would you deal? I think, first of all, I don't want to generalize. Right. In general, but I'm going to generalize. In general, if someone says it to you that there's a lot of kids in the gym at the minute, or if you're currently going through a phase of struggling to kind of interact with people, and this is a general view, not directing the answer straight to this person, then you will see a lot more kids. It's like that thing in your brain, isn't it? It's like as soon as you think something and look at something often, you'll see it more often and all of that type of stuff. So what is that called? Recital. What's it called? recital. Anyway, let's not go into that. Do you know what I mean, though?
Yeah, recital.
Dickhead. I need to fucking remember that now. I'm going to sound like a right twat here. I don't know. More than usual. Right, let's forget that. But basically, if you see it more often. Once you put a barrier in front of you, like, for example, another one is like earphones. Loads of PTs come to us and go, it's just loads of people with earphones in the gym. And as soon as you tell yourself that, you just see it all the time. You don't see past it.
Confirmation bias as well, isn't it?
Yeah. So I would challenge yourself to try and see past it. But if that is the case, think about your gym is in, that's your private facility, right? So this is my second point. How can you drive traffic to yourself and the gym environment from a lead generation and marketing sense? Well, what you can do is you can have a look inside your business and see what you can do there to get more people, to bring more people into you. You can look into the local area, and you can look onto social media, and you can look onto whatever avenues to bring people to you. All right. So that's another way of viewing things. How can you get people to you? Use and abuse your commercial gym as if it's a private facility. And I think thirdly is, the kids won't be the only people that are in the gym. Like, they won't be the only people that are in the gym. So if that's the case, like, look at the times that you want to fill, be intentful in the times that you want to fill. And then off the back of it, start to go in there with, like, just, no, even if there's one person within your demographic, just one, even if there's just one person in your demographic, go and speak to them. Because what that will do is probably be a snowball and a ripple effect to be, right, there's one there, and you'll start to notice more and more. So just challenge your beliefs. I get that this kid's in there and stuff like that. And I think the fourth example is, go on.
I've just looked back over.
I got distracted then because Layson just come in there and I started waffling. I was trying to show him that I'm not going to talk to him during this live and podcast. And he was just stood at the door staring at me, giving me evil.
I've just looked back through some of the bits and pieces on the check-in, and I think it leads me to think that the very first thing you should be looking at is what times you're in the gym, how consistent those times are, how intentional, only because you mentioned it on the check-in, how intentional you are with your conversations with. Look, and I think this is easy for me to sit here and say, but only because I've been there and I've been in that same mindset, is, yes, there might be a lot more kids in the gym, but not everybody's a kid in the gym, 100%. There's going to be adults. There's going to be people within your demographic. What you've got to make sure you do is be incredibly intentional with the times that you're investing into that interaction. Be more intentional with the conversations. See it through over the next, like, 2 weeks. And then if you're, you know, if you've done all the avenues you've got, you've tried, and there's literally, like, only 16 to 21-year-olds in the gym, then it's a different conversation. But I can pretty much guarantee that won't happen, like, in 2 weeks' time. So I think the first thing is, I get where your head mindset's at, but, you know, plan your, I'm just going off what you put on your check-in here, which is great because obviously gives us something. Plan your week ahead. Be incredibly intentional on the hours you are investing outside of the shifts. Does that equal the extra amount of clients that you want? Are you doing bare minimum at this time of year? And be more intentional with the conversations first. Yeah, because I think, yeah, that's what I would say, mate, is the very first go-to.
Next question. What are your main programming considerations when creating and updating for a client? Oh, this could go on.
First of all, where they are in the training phases I've planned out, that would largely dictate what I do, like the parameters or the principles I use next. So that's the first thing. which obviously aligns with their goal, like their goal, not my goal for them, but their goal. Secondly, are there any kind of performance-based goals as well as like aesthetically-based goals that we've been working on that I can then input into that program? Thirdly, their preferences, what they enjoy doing, I think would be a big one. Thirdly, I've got four up.
This is going well today, isn't it?
Third or fourthly, it would be, do I need to adjust frequency, time frame, anything like that at all, whether they're really struggling, they need maybe a little, an extra session or more frequency over the following month. The next bit would be, you know, how we've, in regards to the methods we use when it comes to habits, nutrition, how did that go? Do we need to change? Do we need to add something in? How the check-in's gone? So yeah, that's what those are the big points I would consider, and any injuries, illnesses, anything like that.
All right, Amy's question in the group. Do you want to cover it? It's a tricky one to answer this, but we'll try it. Well, we'll do it.
So I asked in the QA about that client who hasn't lost any weight. So she's weighing all foods and uploading pictures.
She's not weighing.
Oh, she's not weighing all foods and uploading pictures onto the Facebook group every day of her food, which I know I can't really judge how many calories there are, but it really doesn't seem like she's eating at maintenance. Over the week, she went over by nearly 900 calories in total. When she went to spin class that she wants to previously go into. It says once.
Yeah, I know, but just fucking, hey, you can't say nothing about bleeding.
Just let me finish the damn thing, will you? And shut up. Right, I've lost myself now. No, shut up. I'm going to do this.
Hurry up, you tit.
She's upped her steps from 2 to 6K every day and still no difference in weight. I'm trying to remind her it's not the be-all and end-all, but she's getting really demotivated by it. Any help appreciated. Pause. Hang on. Don't say anything. I also don't want to be checking for daily influx in weight, as she used to be obsessed with checking her weight. Go.
I think you've already answered your own question, Amy, if I'm dead honest, from the looks of this. Like, the thing that, listen, it's really difficult on these when it comes to, from a nutrition perspective, because she used to be obsessed. Like, I don't know her background and her previous relationship with food and all of that type of stuff, because it doesn't, from the outside looking in, from the two questions you've asked over the two Q&As, doesn't seem great. I'm not sure that her uploading pictures to the Facebook group every day of her food and stuff like that probably is the wisest move anyway for this person, because clearly if she's over consuming calories by nearly 900 calories, that's why she's not losing weight. So essentially, from looking at this on the previous question, she isn't tracking well in terms of what you've agreed on from a calorie perspective. She's clearly going over quite a bit, and that's where she's over consuming her calories, because she's now had more expenditure as well. Maybe her appetite has increased, and that's why she's then gone up. So it's about finding a balance. But the be all and end all of this is the fact that, A, I'm not sure the nutrition approach is right for her, in terms of if it's advised for her to, I know she's not weighing food, but clearly if that's been advised, it's probably potentially not right for her. Uploading pictures, probably not right for her. What I would say is that I would sit down with her, have a bit of a chat, and maybe create some more options of going, right, you're currently over consuming calories by 849 calories a week. That's from what you know. And actually, that's probably going to be potentially more because she's probably not tracking with precision like most people don't. So what you need to come up with as a bit of an aligned team and go, right, this is the situation. Like, it's understandable. Like, I don't know how long this person's been chasing a deficit either. It might have been a while. We talked about this last time. Clearly, if you've increased your expenditure with the spin class and the 4K steps a day increase, and you're still not losing weight, it's coming from your nutrition. So what do we want to do to focus on this further? And then I would create options. I don't know her, so it would be wrong for me to to create these options. What I would say is that you need to create some options that are relevant and fit into her life, because the ones that are there right now aren't working. So it's facing into the nutrition side of things, yeah, and coming up with meaningful choices and meaningful options for this person, because clearly that's the biggest gap there. Now, that might be a couple of things. Like, if she's constantly overestimating her calories, then maybe that the calorie target is comes lower, and that allows for that for her to overestimate her calories and stuff like that. Maybe there is more tracking with precision. She goes through a period of time where she wants to really track with like a lot of precision. Maybe there's a compliance tracker. Maybe she's doing food diaries again. Maybe she's on a specific diet. Like, just come up with some relevant options that are right for this person. Because now, in my opinion, that's what's standing out from what you've wrote there, is that her nutrition is the main cause for concern. So that would be my advice. But seek to understand as much as possible. Anything you would add to that, Nick? Hey. They were some good questions, actually. To say there was only five of them this week. And we rambled, and Layson distracted me, distracted me. He just opened the door and stared at me. I don't know what I've done wrong, but he just stayed there and stared in disgust. I'm like, Jesus, son. Right, that's us. Wrapped up. See what I did there? See what I did? No? Yeah. Wrapped up for Christmas with the live Q&As. Episode 99 of the podcast. Episode 100 is going to be a fairly special one, isn't it, Nick? We haven't planned it yet, but it's going to be a really special one.
Yeah.
Sweet. Is there any more questions in the chat? Oh, I tell you what has just happened in the chat. John Middleton's just told me what I was trying to get out before that I couldn't get out. Reticular activating system. I was more or less there.
You got four letters, three words.
Oh, mine, but I only read it again the other night. Wicked. All right, guys and girls, thanks for your attention today. Have a great Christmas.
Happy Grimbo.
Those who listen on the podcast. And if you are listening on the podcast, actually share it. Show us some love for a change. You know what I mean?
We got another. What do you call them? Review? What do you call them things? We got another review.
Brilliant.
Very nice review.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah.
Well, that's good, isn't it? Maybe we should.
Cara. Thanks, Cara.
Maybe we should start asking for them in the new year.
I've added in the cow noises again. No one's noticed yet.
Forget it.
Maybe goat this week. I'll put the goat in this week.
Shite banter. Right. We'll love you and leave you. See you in a bit.
Bye.